The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
This is Radio City Talk.
Right, it might be England-Sweden at the weekend. It's also Chester-Liverpool. Pre-season's here already. Everton don't start theirs until what day? I'm looking through their fixtures. 18th of July. Let's catch up with Tony Scott from the Liverpool Echo. Morning, Tony.
Good morning, Steve.
Quite a significant gap there between Liverpool starting their pre-season and Everton starting theirs.
Yeah, I think that will legislate for the, like, there's a couple of players, obviously, in at World Cup duty. You had Sigurdsson there, they're just a guy, and obviously Jordan Pickford, who could may well make it even a semi-final, even to go as far as a final. So I think Everton they've been involved in the Algarve Cup in Portugal. I think they just want to get the fitness on board, and Brands and Silva just want to look and see what they can work with so far.
Absolutely. Liverpool back into it straight away. So couple of headlines out of the Liverpool game. Joel Matip, Adam Lallana, unlikely to feature in that first pre-season friendly. Joel's not in training yet. Lallana, a little bit ill, according to the manager. Virgil van Dijk, Gini Wijnaldum, also going to miss this weekend's game. But we should see a couple of the new boys being involved in Naby Keita and Fabinho as well, which is it's going to be fascinating to see how they settle in.
Oh, definitely. I think there's going to be it's a typical one tomorrow, isn't it? When you've got the England match kicking off at exactly the same time as Liverpool versus Chester. So I think a lot of fans are looking and questioning Liverpool, saying, "Why is there any chance of changing it?" But apparently it was Jurgen Klopp's. It was his decision, and he said, "No, it's kicking off at 3 o'clock." Well, which would make interesting watching if it was the other way around. If Germany were in the, say, the World Cup quarter final. Would the game take place at another time, which would be interesting. But no, Liverpool play Chester. I fully expect Liverpool to get a good run out there against Chester. And the fans are going to be there to watch your Naby Keitas of the world, aren't they? He's going to be a really good hit for Liverpool next season. I really, really fancy him to do well. He's a box-to-box midfielder. And one thing's for certain, Steve, he's going to be a shoo-in for the yellow cards, isn't he?
On your little betting front, yeah, I think you're probably right there. Let's talk Yerry Mina. So on the Everton front, Mina, is that the correct pronunciation? Mina. All right. Not everyone's a fan of the Colombian team at the moment, but all Evertonians might soon buy into one individual in terms of Mina. What can he offer to Everton? He seems like he's had a pretty short stay at Barcelona.
Yeah, well, reasons behind that, Steve. I think there's been a lot of articles out lately, and the reasons behind, and none of them have been obviously published, is that Barcelona have got their non-EU spots covered. So basically, they're only allowed 3 non-EU players in each squad. So obviously, the likes of Paulinho, Coutinho, etc., they take theirs up. So they very rarely want a centre-back taking up their non-EU quota. So they'll be looking to move him on. Basically, he's not going to be playing. It's going to be practically impossible for him to get a game next season because of that reason. Now, Barcelona bought him in January. He hasn't played hardly any games for them because of them reasons. He's been a little bit inconsistent as well in terms of injury and playing time. He scored 3 goals in this World Cup, Stephen. You can see his record from set pieces as well. You see he towers above big defenders as well. Mm. Big unit at the back. He's a 1-4 for the defender, which is not bad. I think he can try and resemble the likes of Julian Lescott for Everton, though, when he was getting basically 8 to 9 goals a season. So Everton have very, very much missed that centre-back, scoring a lot of goals from set pieces. And I think he may tick that box. He's 23. And Everton have made contact with him. So I think if you're looking at it, the likes of players going out this summer, Steve, you've got Romero Funes Mori's already moved to Villarreal. Ashley Williams should be out the door. Wouldn't be surprised if club captain Phil Jagielka leaves too. And that would only leave Michael Keane and Mason Holgate at the centre-back. So I think it's a position that Marco Silva and Marcel Brands want to get sorted as soon as possible, really.
It needs filling. So your understanding is they have made contact with Barcelona. But what would he cost?
Well, it's a difficult one, Steve, because he's basically saying, I've just read a couple of his recent quotes, and he's saying that his decision, it'll be down to Barcelona, which club he decides to go to. Now, it's interesting, it's not down to his agent or himself, it'll be down to Barcelona. So Barcelona can basically say to Everton or any other club, well, he's not going to you because we want X, Y, and Z. So it's very rare that you see a player leave it in the hands of the football club. It's normally down to themselves or their agents, but he's willing to let Barcelona tell him where he's going. So it could vary.
Is that because no one wants to leave Barcelona? If we're truthful at the end of the day, if you've got a chance of staying there and being involved, you do, don't you?
Of course you do, Steve. You're playing, and you're playing for one of the biggest clubs in the world. You're playing Champions League football. You're on big money. So why would you want to move anywhere else? So anywhere else, it's arguably, you'd say Real Madrid, Manchester United, etc. But apart from that, everywhere else, it's a downward spiral, isn't it? So you've got to look at it from his perspective. He's thinking, I'm reluctant to go here. I think he says he's good enough. He wants to fight for his place. But having said that, he then retracts himself by saying it's in Barcelona's hands, and if they want to pick the club that I'm going to, then so be it. So it's a difficult one to give a price tag on it, because it's in the hands of Barcelona. It's not in the hands of the agent or obviously himself.
Is he the main target at the moment as far as Everton are concerned?
Yeah, Kieran Tierney is another player that they are very, very much interested in from Celtic, young left-back there. Listen, Leighton Baines' legs aren't getting any younger, are they? And the players there have been there for a long time. You've got your Kevin Morales, Leighton Baines, Phil Jagielka. There's a lot of players been there for quite a long while. Legs are going. The way Everton are going to play next season is going to be high intensity, pressing high up the pitch. That's the way Marco Silva wants to play. So don't be surprised if any of these players who are in the late 20s, early 30s even, will be moved on, because Everton have got no room for manoeuvre. And as I've just said there, Steve, they're going to have to play this attack on football. And if you're not fit enough to play it, you'll be out the door.
Right, let's look ahead to England, Sweden. And of course, all eyes will be on Jordan Pickford again after his heroics in the penalty shootout against Colombia. Interesting little piece in The Echo today. They've been talking with Steve Walsh, the Blues' former director of football, who left the role in May. And he says that he feared Real Madrid could have come in to snatch Jordan Pickford away from Everton. I don't know where he's got this from. But he's saying, don't make me sound like I'm a hero for signing Jordan, but it does look successful, the deal we did for him. He's now worth £30 million and his value will get bigger and bigger. My big fear at Everton was that eventually a club the size of Real Madrid would come along and want to get him, offering around £60 million. Pounds, as his value absolutely spiralled after what he's done.
Well, first and foremost, Steve, if you're talking from Steve Walsh, for every Jordan Pickford for £25 million, there's a Davy Klassen for £25 million to throw in the mix, so you could even it up that way. Now, Jordan Pickford was a hell of a find. He was one of Sunderland's best goal players that season when they got relegated. Now, I think his transfer fee will obviously spiral out of control. You're looking at goalkeepers now, Steve. I think years ago, you go a goalkeeper, 25, 30 million, very much expensive. Now, the figures that are getting quoted for the likes of Alisson, for Liverpool, who are linked with, you're talking 60, 70, even 80 million for players who haven't even kicked a ball in the Premier League. Ederson for Manchester City signed for 40-odd million. So you've got to look at young English goalkeeper. He's only going to get better. That was his seventh match for England, by the way, Steve. His seventh match for England. And it just shows you the potential he's got. And what I like about him more than anything, he's confident in his own ability. You get a lot of young lads, and we had George Green on our podcast yesterday, and he says a lot of young lads can't cope with the pressure and the money and everything that's thrown at them. You've got Jordan Pickford, he's the total opposite. He's confident, he just takes it day by day, he knows his ability, and he'll take each game in his stride. And he wouldn't be fazed if he's playing against Brazil in the World Cup final. He wouldn't be fazed at all. He's earned his roots. I think you look at his CV, Steve, Darlington, Alfred and Town, Burton Albion, Carlisle United. He's worked his way up the ladder, and now he's at Everton, he's got that big money move, and now he's in the World Cup quarter final, and he's World Cup starting. Don't forget, he was Everton's best player last season, won every accolade, go and play the year, etc. And I just feel that every reward that comes his way is richly deserved, because he's a cracker lad. I spoke to him a couple of times at the Player of the Season Awards. Brilliant to get on with, up for a laugh. And I just feel as if you ever want a player to do well so much at this World Cup, it's him, because he grasps everything about English football. He's young, he's dynamic, wants to do well. He's not fazed by anyone. Doesn't go out shouting how much money he's got, his big cards, etc. He loves life. And you're almost more, every single person wants him to do well.
No, I agree. Seems like a brilliant lad. It's interesting you're talking about the value of goalkeepers now they've changed, because I think they've only changed within the past sort of year and a half to 2 years. Even 2 years ago, people were still saying goalie, £10 to £15 million is a lot. I don't know why the value of a goalkeeper was always less than other players in the side, but it seems like all of a sudden they've caught up, Tony.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what? I think that's partly down to the heroics of David De Gea in goal, because obviously when eyebrows were raised when Alex Ferguson bought him in for a huge fee at the time, And he was a young, basically, he looked like he needed to get a good pan of scouts down, and he was just, looked small, and he just couldn't cope with the Premier League, but he's got in the gym, and et cetera. And now, you look at him, he's one of the best goalkeepers in the world, and he probably saves Manchester United about 20 points per season. And when you look at it now, Steve, there's a lot of football clubs, they look at stats and everything else and information that goes behind the transfer fee. Now, do you look at goalkeepers nowadays, and surely it's exactly the same as centre-forwards. What's he guaranteeing this season for us? What's he going to guarantee for us for the next 2 or 3 years? Is he going to guarantee us 25 goals, etc.? These top-quality goalkeepers are guaranteeing 20 to 25 points per season, Steve. And that's why Jordan Pickford last season was worth his weight in goals. He probably saved Everton to the best part of 15 to 20 points alone. Penalty saves, big saves when it was 0-0. When you're winning 1-0, hanging on. And obviously Everton was struggling towards the end of the season. And that was down. Everton got out of trouble, basically, down to Jordan Pickford's heroics in goal, because he saved Everton a lot of points. I think that's one of the main reasons nowadays, Steve, that goalkeepers are going for a huge amount of money, because they're saving their teams a huge amount of points. And I think Liverpool are looking that way, but they need to get a goalie on the other side of Stanley Park. Rather, they need to get their goalie in order as well.
Finally, then, it's a goodbye and a good luck to Joel Robles, who's penned a heartfelt goodbye message to Everton fans. He says it's been an unforgettable 5 seasons. Do you share the sentiments?
Oh, yeah, Steve. Do you know what? He's been brilliant for Everton. It's very rare you get a number two who's willing to sit there and wait his turn. And he's an half-decent goalkeeper. Sometimes you're going to get ones who are old pros, who are 30-odd years of age, who's going to sit there and take the wages. But he was a young lad, Joel, come from Atletico Madrid, and he's bided his time. He stayed there for a lot, and he's came in, and he's done a good job. He's never, ever once had a bad word to say, like, I'm not getting my game time and being frustrated, etc. He's got on with it. He's had a great connection with the Everton supporters. And Everton have thanked him for that. And he's moved on to pastures new. And every Evertonian wish him good luck. He's been absolutely brilliant for Everton when called upon. It's very rare you get a number two who's willing to sit on the bench and wait his time throughout all them times. Everton have been struggling for goalkeepers in that time as well. So huge credit for Joel Robles. Fully good professional. Best wishes wherever he goes.
Right, quick shout for the podcast. Brand new podcast yourself and Greg O'Keefe. Brilliant stuff for all Evertonians. It's called what, Tony?
It's called All Together Now podcast. You can say it to you. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, and we had a huge, huge, great podcast yesterday with George Green. Obviously, mental health in football. As we've seen, he played in the same team as Dele Alli. There's lots of quotes from him there saying he's absolutely gutted to see in England doing so well because he feels he should be in the same team as them. It's a really fascinating insight to how a young footballer can be given so much at such a young age, but it can go down the other way. Lots of mental health issues he's had, but he's on his way back up playing non-league football. Fascinating insight. So listen to it on All Together Now podcast.
Nice one, Tony. Thank you.
This is Radio City Talk.
Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.